the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Sean Sweeney, Programme Director of Metrolink. You're very welcome to the last word. So give us a progress update, please. Where are you at when it comes to giving us our Metrolink for Dublin?
Oh, thanks, Matt. We're at a really important stage of the project. We spent all last year, I think, basically getting the project set up, because when I joined, basically the project had no profile, had no political support, we didn't have funding, I didn't have an executive team, and the biggest problem for us was the European international construction market didn't believe us when we said we were going forward, because the project's been cancelled before. So we realised we had a big issue in terms of credibility, and I've spent...
Had you realised that before you took on the job?
No.
It came as a surprise to you, didn't it?
Yes.
Why?
Well, there's only certain things you learn once you start a job, to be fair. Every major project I start, the term I use is you start turning over rocks and you find out what's really going on. And no, I didn't have... Well, what I didn't... I knew the job had been cancelled before, but what I realised in the first 3 months of last year was the level of negative sentiment the international construction market had about the job. Like, what I've told people is I spent a lot of time the first half of last year visiting people, speaking at conferences, and I'd be regularly meet representatives of major European firms, and this is what they'd say. They'd say, we love Ireland, we love the Irish, but we don't think you're serious. So by March, I told the Taoiseach and the Cabinet that our biggest risk was that the market wouldn't turn up, because the negative sentiment toward, and every international constructor I met reminded me that the project had been cancelled. That surprised me, the deepness of the sentiment. So we spent all of, and also they said, look, you know, the project is not being run by anyone, this is 2024, who's ever built a metro. There's no one in government standing behind it. We don't think you're funded, and you still haven't got your railway order. We basically just don't think you're in any shape to go forward. So all of last year was addressing all of those issues.
Hang on, you had the experience of doing it, didn't you, in Australia?
Yeah, New Zealand.
And New Zealand, sorry, yeah, New Zealand.
Australia and New Zealand.
Okay.
But I was at the back end of a metro in New Zealand. So, I mean, I knew what the sort of moving parts looked like. But these are sort of parts of any jigsaw puzzle. To get a project going forward, you have to convince you have to have political backing, you have to have funding, you have to have a competent team, and the market has to think you're serious.
And do you have all those factors in place?
We do now. We do now. So over the course of the year, we got the government to step in behind us. We got funding with the National Development Plan. And then the most important thing was we commenced basically 6 weeks of touring around Europe, talking to the international construction market. And we launched that in Dublin, and we had the Taoiseach, the Tánaiste, and the minister speak at it. And that was a light bulb moment for the market, because they said things in their addresses that they'd never heard from our Irish politicians before about the level of commitment, the level of funding. And we then repeated at everywhere we went, London, Paris, Madrid, Milan, we showed the videos of them speaking, and you could literally see the market light bulb going, okay, you guys are serious.
But we're a nation of builders. We like to think of ourselves, yes, in Ireland as being a nation of builders, yep, and we all like to think that not only have we built a lot in Ireland, that Irish builders have built Britain and have built other places. So why is it that you have to go to international market?
Because of the size and complexity of the project. We're basically building a driverless metro system, very specific technologies, and very large underground tunnels. The experience in Ireland, I'm told, pretty well emptied out after the GFC. The international countries shut down because Ireland stopped building domestically, and the people who'd built all went overseas. And we still have a legacy of that loss. At the moment, Irish construction companies don't have the balance sheet or probably the expertise to be the lead builders in this project. And that's just where we are. And the Irish construction firms I've spoken to freely accept that. They'll be part of it, but they won't be the lead builder.
Okay. So how many people is it going to be required at any stage to do the building on the metro?
Well, that's a really big estimate. The number I'm putting out there is about 8,000. We estimated 2,000 on my job in New Zealand, and the Metrolink is roughly five times the size of it. So you could even, it could even get up to 10,000, but I think 8,000 is a safe bet.
We don't have those workers in the country. Are these international firms going to be able to pick up the labour here in Ireland, or are they going to bring it with them into the country?
Bit of both. The highly specialist labour they'll bring in, well, my experience of them, they will bring in the people who have the highly specialised knowledge, like the people who run the tunnel boring machine will come from wherever. But interestingly, in New Zealand, the main guys running the TBM on my job in Auckland were Irish, but they'd been with a French firm for 20 years. So, I mean, you find Irish all through these firms wherever you go. So the specialist roles they will bring in because the risk of them getting it wrong they won't take. So in New Zealand, job a fifth the size of Metrolink, the French firm Vinci brought in 300 of their own people. So if you sort of scale that up, they're going to bring in a lot of people because they want to make sure that they're using their people.
Where will they live?
Well, Dublin.
Yeah, but are they going to live in existing accommodation or are you going to build special accommodations? And the way that, for example, when the Olympic Village was being built in London for 2012, that there were various apartments built for the workers to live in until such stage as they'd finished the job in the stadium, and then those apartments could be used for other people or for student accommodation or whatever.
We are looking and working with the Land Development Agency, the LDA, at producing some housing stock to help them, but we won't be able to cover the whole sort of list of people they want to bring in.
Okay, that's going to create its own problems as well, so.
Probably.
Okay, so tell us where you're at. So you're going now in the next couple of months to essentially interview, is it those building firms that might be interested in doing the job?
Well, we've got three what I call mega contracts, two to build the tunnels and stations and one to fit them out and turn it into a railway. We're commencing the first stage of procurement of those in 2 weeks. And that basically starts with us doing what I'd call a request for your competency. It's an evaluation process. We'll go out to the market basically saying, send us your credentials and we'll evaluate whether you're big enough and good enough to do the job. But we're kicking off that process in 2 weeks.
Okay. Do these companies effectively have you over the barrel, though? They'll just be able to name their price and you'll have to take it, because if they don't do the work, you don't get your tunnel built.
Well, that's why we spent 6 weeks going around Europe to drum up interest, to make sure we have a competitive process.
So you will have a competition?
The advice we have is that we're going to have proper bid lists in each of those three big contracts, which we didn't have a year ago. A year ago, I was being told by the international market we're not interested.
Okay. Where are you at in the timeline of it now? Because there's been a lot of publicity, for example, about the houses down at where it will be the Charlemont Station on Dartmouth Square. How much did that set you back, or are you still on track to meet your original deadline of, what is it, 2035?
Well, the time frame will not be set in any, I think, meaningful way until we've signed up those three big contractors, because they will all tell us the time frame they're going to use to build. So all we're doing at the moment is estimating. So the current estimates are somewhere in the mid-2030s, but I've learned through my career, we won't know till we've got an offer from a builder as to what the time frame and the cost is truly going to be.
Okay, and then what about the estimates of cost, because... I'm sure you're familiar with all the arguments we have in this country about the escalating costs of the National Children's Hospital and the delays in getting it completed. Mm-hmm. How confident would you be that you'll be able to avoid that type of controversy during your time overseeing the construction of Metrolink?
Look, international construction, nothing's guaranteed. There's a level of complexity and uncertainty that anyone who tells you on day one what it's going to cost and time it's going to take, I think is actually a bit of a fool. But we are confident that we're going to avoid some of the traps that the Children's Hospital fell into. We'll have our own challenges.
What traps in particular do you think you'll be able to avoid and how?
I'm not an expert on the Children's Hospital, but anecdotally I've been told that the contracting strategy was wrong. It meant that they had an uncompetitive process to tender the main building. That immediately put the state at a disadvantage. I've been told by other people then the client kept issuing variations way after they should have done, which meant that the builder was always chasing their tail, trying to reprice things. So there are a lot of, and I'm not an expert on it, this is just what I read in the paper and from what I've been told by people anecdotally.
Yeah, but I suppose it's important, isn't it, that the state learns from a failure like that and doesn't repeat it on another major capital project.
So, and also, if you read the report that was put out, there was a lack of, I think, capability, expertise and the leadership of that project 4 years ago when a report was done. So we've got an internationally credentialed leadership team on this project. It's probably the best executive team I've ever had in my career. They've got 250 years experience doing this sort of stuff. That's a big difference to the Children's Hospital. The people who work for me have built metros all around the world already.
If you're out to market starting next month to find the contractors, how quickly would you hope that they would be able to start the work? When will the boring begin?
Well, because we have to follow European procurement rules, our procurement process is going to take a minimum of a year, which is longer than I'm used to in Australia and New Zealand. So we're looking at pre-qualification is going to start in 2 weeks. The main tenders will start in the middle of this year. We're looking at tenders coming back in and award for two of those contracts in the middle of 27, but the railway contract, the PPP, will not be awarded till probably late 27, early 28.
Do you find this frustrating, the length of time that it all takes?
Me personally,
yeah.
I do, but it's no one's fault. This is everything. Building in Europe takes a lot longer than Australia or New Zealand. There's a whole range of reasons for that that I'm just learning. It's certainly no one in Ireland's fault, but we have to follow European procurement rules and it takes a lot longer than I'm used to.
Sean Sweeney, Program Director of Metrolink. Thank you very much for joining us.
The last word. With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.